Well, I don't know what is left for me. Maybe to tell you jokes. An Israeli and a Palestinian were traveling together in the airplane. And the Palestinian wanted badly to go to the bathroom. He wanted there, went there, and he saw occupied. And he said, Israeli inside it. So they continued to go. And when they arrived in London, you know, the immigration name, Shlomo. Occupation, he said, no, I am not for occupation. I am coming for Lambeth Palace Conference. You know, it is appreciative that we have this conference, and we are happy to be here with our Abrahamic family. And when I look at the situation there, I think and look that it is the dysfunctional family of Abraham. You know, and this has really pushed me to think that it is like, you know, a family feud. At the same time, we should really be very accurate when we talk about the situation and call things by their names, to call a spade, but without aggression. It is good to be assertive and to express ourselves without alienating or judging the others. As an Arab-Palestinian Christian, this is a kind of trinity. It is very blessing as well confusing for many, whether in the East or the West. And always I reminded when I go to the West, asked by this question, when did you become a Christian? I would say that my great-great-grandmother was the babysitter of Jesus. And being a Christian means that I have moral obligation to what's going on. And here in my talk, I try to focus on some of the challenges and talk about our active role. You know, many of my colleagues previously talked about Jerusalem. And for the first time in history, for the last 2,000 years, Jerusalem has been separated from Bethlehem. And when we talk about Jerusalem, we talk not only about that place in the middle of the Holy Land, but also it is emotional, religious, political, social activism. You know, and amazingly, the Palestinians who apply for a visa in Jerusalem, they are not allowed to go to Jerusalem. I'll give you an example of getting a visa here, which is not the most difficult thing, but to tell you about the problematic approach. You send your application with someone who has access to Jerusalem. And then you are summoned to go to Ramallah to have your thumb. And then application travel to Jordan, to Amman, to have the agreement. And then the visa will be issued in Jerusalem. And you need to send another one to go there to get it for you. You know, this is really a kind of flavor that we live in and the difficulties that we face. And you heard a lot about this issue. The other issue, you know, when we talk really about the settlement, give you example of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is getting smaller. The little town become tinier. 87% of the land is under Israeli control or occupation. 23 settlements with a total population 87,000. And of course, with the settlement fragmenting Bethlehem as an example, but also fragmenting all the remnants of what used our land. And I was, you know, thinking of Lazarus, and we try to relate to that. We ask this question, an apology for our religious leaders. Why did Jesus resurrect Lazarus? He told him that, wake up, the Israeli settlers is taking your land. So the issue of settlement is really very crucial for building peace and for having Muslims and Christians and Jews to live together. Many talks about the prisoners. Do you know that 1/3 of the male population have been in jail? 1/3. 12,000 women have been in jail since 67. There is no single family who has not been touched by that. And you understand the psychology behind that. I believe Israelis and Palestinians are hostage to trauma. But as a Palestinian, I'm talking about my people, they are hostage to trauma. We don't have the post-traumatic stress disorder. It is an ongoing trauma, layer after layer. So we need really to help those people, our people in the Middle East, to get rid and to be healed. And here's the role of theology. Here's the role of Christians and Muslims and Jews to find way to help to make religion from being used as a source of conflict to a source of peace. I'm not a theologian. I was involved in liberation theology. Many times I echo what many of my colleagues say, we need liberation from theology and not liberation theology. You know, I can talk about this which make us all pessimistic. But coming here, we are becoming more optimistic. I'm neither pessimistic nor optimistic. I'm cautiously hopeful. That's why I moved from dwelling on victimhood to more assuming my collective responsibility and created a center called WIAM, which is the Palestinian Conflict Resolution Center. And it is called to shift from blame, from victimhood, from pointing the finger, from guilt to collective responsibility. Because blaming is toxic. Dwelling on victimhood is suicidal. So we need to create something. And no one will stop us from organizing ourselves in this big prison. And I believe if Martin Luther King is alive, he will write a letter from Bethlehem jail. So we need to find ways to get rid of this victimhood and work for the common good of the people. Alongside with other organizations in the West Bank, we tried to empower the civil society, tried to find a way to relate to the situation in a more constructive way, whether church-related organization or secular organizations. We have a big challenge to work and to struggle nonviolently against occupation, as well as to build our own system based on citizenship, because we want to be on equal footing no matter what our religious, political, social, academic background. And we focus on issues related to restorative justice, because we need to make a difference between punitive justice and restorative justice. We are calling for redressing the injustices rather than avenging them, because there will be no future in Israel-Palestine without restorative justice. And it's very important to find ways how to implement and solidify this approach in our daily life as well as in solving the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And of course, we are trying to enhance the culture of acceptance, dialogue of cultures and religions. It is needed now more than ever to have dialogue on all levels, and not dialogue of lip service, dialogue that will lead to change in politics, to lead to change in ways of life. Otherwise, we will be cornered in our own ghettos. And we see what's going on. Many people look at what's happening in the Middle East as Arab Spring. I think it is all season Arab. I hope it will stop and change the things in the spring, but I'm afraid it will go. And we are not sure where are we heading, community building or chaos. But the bottom of that people would like to see change. And we are part of this to change the situation. As Christians in the Middle East and in Palestine, we are the Christians of the cross. And we are walking the Via Dolorosa. But always we should be reminded that the last station is ended in the sepulcher where the tomb is empty. And we work towards that, and hopefully the resurrection will be for all to celebrate, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. because there is no way that justice will single out one group, one political entity, and not the other. As Martin Luther King says, any injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. So we need to work for justice in that levels. And of course, we need to bring the Palestinians back to be at the table of negotiations and not on the table of negotiations. We need to have a jump start for the peace process, because it is the only way to disarm extremism that we have heard about. And by the way, extremism is not a creation of one religion. You can see it in all religions, including Buddhism, Hinduism, and everyone. So we would like to see the peace process go in the right direction, to be like the snowball, gaining more momentum and quantum, and to lead to everlasting justice and peace. As an activist, it's not by chance that I was active since I was 13 years old. I have been active from bottom up. And like many other Palestinians who struggled hard to change the situation, being a student of Dr. Bernard or Father Drew at Bethlehem University, we thought we were very romantic that next year will change the world. But we need to still to continue the struggle for change. We still believe in bottom up, but it is the time to have top bottom. We need, and this will not be happening unless we are all assume collective responsibility. And we see collective responsibility at work, ending the apartheid regime in South Africa and ending the conflict in Northern Ireland and the Balkans. And when I talk about collective responsibility, I believe the collaboration of three dimensions of what I call struggle, to help the Palestinians to continue their struggle to end the occupation, the pro-peace camp in Israel to help Israel to get up being the occupier. And many times when I meet my Israeli and Jewish friends, I say, if you want to save the soul of Israel, help Israel to get rid of the occupied territories. And the third dimension is your presence, your prophetic voice, prophetic action, not only through the talk, but also through the walk. We are in need of each other in this global village to put an end to this deadlock before it is too late. And it is very important to see that happening nowadays, where still there are some moderate leaders. As well as the Christians, we have the call to do it. Jesus has commanded us to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe this is what is needed nowadays more than ever. This is needed in Jerusalem and everywhere. We need you to have the multi-track diplomacy, to have lobbies, to exert pressure on the governments to come into accordance with issues of justice, dignity for all, not for one group. We are not asking you to be pro-Palestinian. We are asking to be pro-justice, that Jews, Christians, and Muslims could live together, whether in two-state solution or one-state solution, and to empower the weak, but to bring the strong to their senses and not to their knees. If we are able to bring the power to their senses, there will be no punitive justice. We are interested in empowering the Palestinian Christians through their cause, because this will give more hope, not here, not there only, but in the Middle East. Yes, and I conclude, as a Christian, as we say, we believe in life after death, but we want to make it through practical programs, how to live our life before death. And to have this celebration of life with Moshe, with Muhammad, with Wardi and Sarah, that we can live together in the land called holy. We are all invited to this celebration. What can we do to make this reality achieved? Thank you.
Dr. Zuby, thank you very much indeed. A theme of collective responsibility, reaching out beyond the land that we call the Holy Land, involving all those who seek and learn from the striving for justice or restorative justice in many different parts of the world. And you speak with passion and indeed great commitment to that broad program in which we pray that these peoples of such diversity can live in that precious land in peace together.